Hey y'all, welcome to Hooked on Crime Pod, the podcast where we talk about hooks and crooks. It's Halloween week. I hope you guys have been enjoying the content every day, and hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. So, John Alexander Lawson was born in San Francisco, California, to parents Timothy Lawson and Cynthia Lawson. The parents had married in 1971, and their son was born in 1978. The family moved to North Carolina and stayed there until they got a divorce in 1990. Cynthia and John continued to live in North Carolina, and Timothy said, "I'm out," and moved back to California. In 1998, Cynthia remarried to a guy named Johnny James and moved into his home on Knob Hill Drive, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. John Lawson, y'all, his childhood is a confusing mess. He would tell different stories to try and impress whoever was around, and he liked to make things up. Like, he claimed his birth father was a priest and then said his birth father had died. He said he lived all over in all these different cities and states and places. He said he was from Iraq. He said his mom was a Satanist and just all kinds of stuff. Cynthia said John was emotional and he followed his own path, you know, when he was a kid. And she said he harmed animals when he was younger and he used drugs and alcohol. And she was worried about him and she tried to get him help and took him to see a psychiatrist who diagnosed him with agoraphobia, which is someone who has a huge fear of leaving the house alone. A fear of going into crowds and enclosed spaces kind of thing. He was also diagnosed with schizophrenia and having manic depression. Cynthia took him to therapy and, you know, she tried, but at some point she couldn't afford it. You know, he had to stop getting professional help. So, you know, thanks American healthcare for the prices. After this, he, you know, had stopped going to therapy, and he also stopped going to school. He dropped out of high school and legally changed his name, which is what I will be referring to him as in the rest of this episode. He changed his name to Pazuzu Ayala Algarad. And he claimed to be a devoted Satanist and a drug dealer. Pazuzu is the name of the king of demons and the demon of the southwest wind, known for bringing famine during dry seasons and locust in the rainy seasons in ancient Mesopotamian religion. But most people know the name from the film The Exorcist, in which the demon that is possessing the little girl Reagan McNeil claims to be Pazuzu. So anyway, Pazuzu liked to be different and weird and be creepy and scare people. He bragged about sacrificing animals and claimed to be able to control the weather. Alrighty then. Pazuzu decides to go full out with this kind of character he's become, and he filed his teeth into a sharp pointed shape. He did this with a Dremel tool by himself. And he got covered in tattoos. His face was covered. His whole body had tattoos. And I don't have nothing against tattoos, but, his were a bit outlandish and they were meant to try and scare people. He had his tongue split and he was a Charles Manson fanboy. He loved how Charlie Manson could get people to do his dirty work and Pazuzu was game to try it. He started a new religion, mixing Luciferianism and Islam together. And like, honestly, the only way these religions go together is that people refuse to try and understand, you know, what they're about. People fear both religions because Luciferianism and Satanism are viewed as, oh, so scary and, oh no, Satan, you know, whatever. And since this was 2002, people were and to an extent still are terrified of Islam because of negative press, and he wanted the controversy and attention and the fear, the combination of these, you know, religions, it provided that, and he wanted that, you know, notoriety. Bad press is good press, you know, in his mind. Pazuzu was in a mental health nosedive. And again, thanks to healthcare costs, he couldn't receive the help he desperately needed. And he was suffering with his issues. And it didn't help, you know, with what was to come. And at some point, his mom and stepdad had moved out of the house and just let him live there, you know. But without any family dynamic, I think that added to a spiral. And he started to surround himself with, you know, people who were considered society's misfits and outcasts and freaks. And, you know, he wrangled them in as followers. He used the fact that a lot of them were unemployed and drug addicts to his advantage by letting them come to his house and stay and do drugs. And, you know, they kept coming back. People became enamored by his rebellious attitude and that he was defiant and dangerous and unpredictable and kind of unhinged, I guess. People were constantly coming and going, and most people heard of, you know, of Pazuzu and his house, which I don't know, but Pazuzu's party palace kind of just keeps popping into my head. And so they were, you know, they were curious about this party palace and they wanted to check it out. And when they would go over there, it was honestly so super fucking nasty that if you go online, you can actually see pictures of this house, and they made me gag. Like, no wonder people got high over there, because you wouldn't want to be there sober. One of his followers is quoted as saying, "We just hung out and chilled around and whatnot. Maybe did a little heroin every now and then. Just a crazy shit ton of drinking, cut ourselves and each other. Maybe drink the blood of a bird or whatever. Just all around having a good time. There were no rules. You could piss on his carpet. You could smash a TV. You could hit someone in the head with a beer bottle. It just didn't matter." Y'all, what in the fuck? Like, seriously, good gravy. I mean, I can tell you from the pictures of this guy's house that what this follower or friend or whatever said was true, because they for sure weren't in there singing the cleanup song and not acting a fool. So most people have figured out Pazuzu was a compulsive liar and that he was just trying to continue being a scary, weird little edgelord. So when he claimed to kill people and that he ate their bodies and burned them or put them in the backyard, people didn't believe him because all he did was lie and no one cared. But, you know, these guys were on drugs, and so they probably weren't in the best, you know, brain space to care. And, you know, this Pazuzu dude just keeps elaborating on his Wattpad edgelord fiction of a life. And so, you know, like, oh, to talk about his religion, there wasn't really anything to this religion other than, in my opinion, an excuse to sacrifice animals, because it seems like that is all they did. And honestly, I'm not down with that. But Pazuzu was gaining all of these women as followers, and he kept calling them his fiancés, and he dated and slept with nearly all of them, and he would sleep with anyone with a pulse. So the fact that he has all of these outcasts, drugged out, you know, down for whatever chicks showing up to his house definitely fed his ego. And, you know, he loved this source of power and sense of power that it gave him. Pazuzu claimed that he only bathed once a year and that he didn't brush his teeth. You know, those ones that he filed into some shark looking shit. I mean, you would think that he would care about them with all that work he put into them, but, you know, whatever. I don't know how all these gals were lining up to have sex with someone so dirty. And it's another part of the story that makes me want to gag. Like, on top of the house being full of trash and human waste and vile filth. I just, ugh. So, anyway, Pazuzu and his followers, you know, didn't care about hygiene. So, they were a ripe bunch. People often said upon entering the house, "Oh my God, what is that smell?" And Pazuzu would laugh and say, Oh, it's the bodies in the basement. So I don't know if you can hear the dogs in the background. They love to add to the sound effects, but we're going to take a break real quick and be right back. Hey guys, our spotlight artist for October and November is Tanya Corbet. She is an Amy Grimy artist that, when I say artist, I actually mean the things she makes looks like art. They are fantastic. She has a horror cat collection that is amazing. And she has a pattern for a sandworm that is 4 feet long. And that blows my mind. So I think y'all should check her out. Go to Etsy and search for Tan Flow Con Crochet, which TANFLOWCON Crochet, Ravelry.com/designers/TANYCORBEIL, and Facebook.com/FLOWCON Crochet. Hope you guys have a great day and check out our crochet artist because she's awesome. Hey guys. So we have talked about how picky I am with my hair before. And if you've listened to my ads, you know that Allison Crawford had done my hair for a long time. Well, sadly, Miss Allie moved on. She is no longer cutting hair, but she did put me in touch with someone who made me feel so wonderful. And I still, like, my self-esteem is negative 20 on good days. But when I look in the mirror now, I still am like, ooh, I look pretty cute. And my daughter, Crime Kid, and I both cried when we got our hair done by her. It's just, she's wonderful. Look for Cara Danielle at The Foilery, which is at 217 West Center Street in Holly Springs, North Carolina. You can go on Instagram at CARA_DANIELE_HAIR. And you can get a hold of her at 919-602-8962. And I 100 out of 10 recommend. So please give her a call today and go get your hair done and you can feel beautiful too. Hey, if you guys are looking for a cute Etsy store to order things from, I highly recommend Designs by SMC Studio. Go to Etsy.com/shop/designs by SMC Studio. And yeah, I got the cutest earrings and shipping was fast, fantastically made product, very affordable prices, and Stephanie, who runs the shop, is a wonderful gal. She is a friend, and honestly, like, I hope she does so well and just kicks butt with her side hustle of her Etsy shop. I am super proud of her for going out and doing this. Congrats, Steph. Keep going. And seriously, guys, check out her shop. It's great. Okay, and we're back. So in May of 2010, this kind of jumps around a little bit, but in May of 2010, Cynthia goes by to check in on Pazuzu and, you know, see how he is, and they get into a fight, and Pazuzu strangles his mom to the point that she passed out. And when she comes to, she calls the cops, and when they get there, they arrest Pazuzu and ask Cynthia if she wants to press charges, and she decided not to press charges. Y'all, I don't know if they were in the house or what when this happened, but one thing I do have to know is if his mother had ever seen the inside of that house, how could she let her son live in a place like that? I get that he's an adult and he can do what he wants, whatever, but I don't know, like, it's just, it's vile. I mean, the house was destroyed. It was covered in graffiti along with all of the previously discussed nasties. There was satanic symbols everywhere, blood smears, spray paint, Sharpie, just all kinds of stuff. And I actually did read that someone is working on trying to decode all of the crazy shit that was written all over the house to try and get some kind of idea of what was going on in Pazuzu and his followers' head. And all I can say is good luck to them. But anyway, in 2011, Pazuzu was arrested for his connection in the shooting death of Joseph Chandler. He had been found dead out by the Yadkin River near a spot where Pazuzu and his group allegedly performed black magic rituals and sacrificed animals. Pazuzu always said that the sacrifice, you know, or they sacrificed on the full moon, and the night that Joseph was shot and killed was a full moon. And apparently Joseph was just outside trying to light a cigarette when he was shot. Pazuzu was out in the area with his friend Nicholas, and I guess the friend shot the gun and Pazuzu was just there. Nicholas was convicted of involuntary manslaughter, and Pazuzu was charged as an accessory after the fact of involuntary manslaughter. Slaughter. I can talk, I swear. Though if you've been listening for any amount of time, I'm pretty sure you're convinced that I cannot, and that's okay. So he only got probation while Nicholas was given jail time. When he was arrested for this, Pazuzu was taken for a psych eval, and his psych eval was accidentally released to the media. So all of this private information, you know, is out there. It was released to the public, and it's a long list of mental illnesses that he was struggling with. And there were notes that when he came in to be evaluated, he smelled like feces and claimed to have not brushed his teeth or bathe. It talks about the animal killings and his substance abuse, that he drank blood that was animal and human. He talks about choking out his mom and that he wants to kill people. And, you know, it showed everyone that he truly should have been kept in a mental health facility and given the help he needed. And people were outraged that he got a slap on the wrist in probation, because the general consensus was he should be kept away from the public. And in hindsight, given what happens from here, you know, it makes people angry, because there was a chance to have him locked up, but it didn't happen. Thanks, Crime Pups, for the background noise. So we're going to go forward. We're going to talk about Josh Wetzler. Josh Wetzler was kind of a hippie, and he loved music and music festivals and road trips. And he and Stacy, his previous girlfriend, they have a son, and Josh started using drugs every day after he kind of had a spiral. And, you know, he ended up getting hit with a felony drug charge, and he wasn't doing that great. And one day he just vanished. Stacy last saw him in July of 2009. And after he hadn't contacted his family for 6 months, Stacy filed a missing person report. Now, 6 months is a long time, but Stacy said that he would kind of take off for long stretches, but he wouldn't miss contacting family on a big holiday. So when Christmas came around and no one heard from him, that's sort of what set off these alarm bells for her. Now, Stacy had heard a rumor that Pazuzu had killed Josh and buried him in the yard. And Pazuzu's followers were kind of going around this fairly small town and talking about Pazuzu having murdered this guy. And Stacy goes to the cops with the rumor and asks them to look into it. Now, let's talk about Tommy Welsh. Tommy Welsh was a car guy. He loved working on cars and building stereos. He had known drug uses or alcohol issues. You know, he was just a really chill dude. He was supposed to meet up with his family for a movie night, but very uncharacteristically, he was very involved with his family. He never showed up. So his family contacted police and got a missing persons case started in October of 2009. So what do these two cases, these two names, these two men have to do with Satan's homeboy, Pazuzu? Well, let me tell you. So one night, Pazuzu decided to abduct Josh as a sacrifice. Josh was going to be kept in Pazuzu's basement, and he was chained up and starved. And after 6 days, he was shot 6 times with a shotgun. Pazuzu and his fiancés, you know, his female followers, then dismembered Josh's body and buried him in the backyard. So, after a little while, Pazuzu and his followers abduct Tommy and decide to use him as another sacrifice and kept him in the basement, starved him, shot him, dismembered him, and buried Tommy's remains in the backyard too. Pazuzu was honestly, he was such a schmuck because he bragged about bodies in the yard and bodies in the basement. But with all of the crap that flew out of his mouth, you wouldn't be able to have guessed that those claims could have been true. One of his followers decided to go to the cops because Pazuzu was out of control, like more so than normal. He was wanting to kill more people. He was being way more aggressive toward his followers. And, you know, people that knew he had actually murdered these two guys were scared that they could piss him off and be next. So police go to search Pazuzu's house and they said the smell was disgusting. And like, honestly, no shit, except there was shit. So never mind. These people didn't use the actual toilet. They would just shit and piss in corners. I wish that was a joke, but it's not. Moving on. So they didn't find anything. And I wonder, honestly, if it's just because the house was so nasty that they couldn't find anything or didn't want to stay long enough, you know, to find anything. And I can't blame them for that. But at the same time, it sucks because Josh and Tommy were buried in the backyard. And I doubt these guys would have cleaned up the crime scene evidence. So, you know, over time, more and more tips come in and they weren't taken seriously. Like, I think at this point, you know, the cops knew everyone wanted Pazuzu and his crew. That's, it comes into my head, like Pazuzu's party palace, Pazuzu and the crew. They wanted them gone. So they, you know, figured that all of this could be bullshit in the hopes that, you know, he would be removed as this, you know, just nasty community issue. But Cynthia, you know, Pazuzu's own mother went to police and was like, hey, you know, I've heard that my son killed people and buried them in the yard. And, you know, finally, it was October 5th of 2014, 5 years later, that the police get a second warrant and look more into this backyard and these Pazuzu issues. And to me, it was kind of almost like, well, God, if we don't find anything, everyone will shut up. But lo and behold, they go and they find the skeletal remains of Josh Wetzler and Tommy Welsh. So Pazuzu and two of his ladies, Amber Nicole Birch and Crystal Matlock, were arrested in connection to the murders. In April 2015, the whole neighborhood breathed a sigh of fresh air and relief as the home Pazuzu's mom and stepdad owned that he and his crew destroyed was completely demolished. I had read that it would have taken nearly $80,000 in repairs for the home to be fixed and deemed livable. But I mean, honestly, it just wasn't worth it in the end. Pazuzu committed suicide on October 28th, 2015 at Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina, before he could face trial. So no one knows why Josh and Tommy were targeted and the families were left with no answers. But in 2017, Amber Nicole Birch was sentenced to 30 years and 8 months to 39 years and 2 months in prison for her role in the murders. I just think the amount of time is weird. Like, maybe just a nice round 30 to 40 years, you know, sounds better. But I mean, whatever works. Crystal Matlock was also sentenced to a minimum of 1 year, 9 months to 3 years, 8 months. She had gotten out in May 2018, but is back in legal trouble currently. I'm not going to get into all the current issues she's having right now, but this case to me screams horror movie, horror story type thing. So that's why I picked it for Halloween week. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. If you look up the pictures of his house, do so at your own discretion because it's fucking nasty. Like, I'm just being honest. Hope you guys are having a great Halloween week, and y'all stay safe and come back tomorrow for another episode.